Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and this podcast, I am so jazzed to be talking about moving the Construction Progress Coalition from Nathan Wood to the next level through the Art of Construction Master Facilitators. And today we really have one of those that has dove fully in to what Devin and Nathan are doing around their platforms. And we're going to talk about how the storytelling puts this all together in his really cool platform called Plexus. And we're going to, the main message for you is that we're going to take lessons learned where Chad led the Dude Where's My Fab channel or group that Nathan's going to talk more about here in a little bit as our guest co-host on all these AEC integration summits from 2024 moving into 2025. And I want to begin with the end in mind here, where when we were doing all our pre-interviews and conversation leading up to this, I asked Chad, as a guy that runs a construction tech company, what is the key to this? And his answer is so unique, and we're going to unpack that about how he talks about how they're a walking contradiction, where they deliver technology, but they're big on talking about how you need to use less technology. And that is just so fascinating to me. And he talks about how they see so many contractors thinking tech will solve all their problems, so they just keep piling that on. But we're going to talk about how you have to focus more on the people and then put the right process with those people than the technology to solve all that. And how this is going to benefit you is, like I talk about all the time, about the Art of Construction Master Facilitator community. And Chad articulated that as that we're a self-motivated, that we understand the full spectrum of AEC and do what is needed to improve. And I think that is so real, and I'm so proud that Chad gave us that answer, because Plexus is like the MF for subcontractors. And I like to say Chad is not the MFers that you think of in construction for many subcontractors. That day-to-day, I own and operate a window and door company that we are one of those key subcontractors trying to figure that out, to figure out how to tie all these teams together and create a solution that does the translation between them all so that we can work on a cohesive team. So today we're going to talk about uniting the bidding and the field and the finance, all that stuff that's so important to run a business, and tie that all together with Nathan Wood, our co-host, who is the master facilitator and founder of the Construction Progress Coalition, leading all conversations in and out of the AEC Integration Summit. So my perspective is hashtag build truth from our buddy Chad, where I talk about the single source of truth of all the podcasts we did with companies like Trimble and alike. Easy to say, hard to do. And we have to figure out how to bridge to figure out this bridge to success around continuous improvement and lifelong learners to always be better, and knowing that tech won't solve everything, but you better get involved on this or you're going to get left behind. And so Chad and I and Nathan are going to talk about how we believe humans make buildings and tech better, but there is no silver bullet for this thing, or there is no one source of truth. You have to create that with your humans, and tech and augmenting tech with proven partners is the key to success. Nathan, it's an honor to have you here. What's your take to tee this thing off to go have as much fun as possible with our buddy Chad?
Oh man, Devin, so excited to bring Chad into this conversation and have him on AOC, because I think we go way back, and I think similar to your conversation with Charlie, if you haven't seen the YouTube video of Dude Where's My Fab that Chad presented, he is definitely by nature a storyteller, gave a great moose hunting story that you have to check out to believe it. But I think another thing that I love about Chad, and I've talked about this with Jeff Sample and with others, you know, just the impact of community and the community and the network that Chad has built, that is, you know, anytime I'm talking to anyone in the financial or the CFMA world and I bring up Chad's name, it's like, oh yeah, we know Chad. Yeah, he's very well connected. And I think that helps build this layer of trust that we really need. in order to rise those tides together. And the last few years, we've been doing these virtual roundtables that focus on mental health and diversity, inclusion, equity, and inclusion. And Chad's been an awesome kind of thought leader and really, you know, kind of spearheading a lot of these efforts and helping to lead some of these more uncomfortable and crucial conversations. So just awesome to have his perspective and dig in deep.
Awesome. Well, without further ado, let's get in to go know a little bit about Chad and his story and unpack, dude, where's my fab? Lock and load, tribe. All right, here we go, Chad. What's your favorite beverage?
This one's easy. Negroni.
All right.
Yeah, it used to be an old-fashioned, but I can't drink the brown liquor anymore. So I only drink 3 days a week, so I cherish those Negronis.
Awesome. Tell it about the favorite place you've traveled.
Man, you know, I've traveled so often to so many places. It's kind of funny. My favorite destination has now become my backyard in the summer with my wife. I'm in the backyard with my favorite person. I got everything I need within 30 seconds. And yeah, it's just one day, one of those days feels like getting 7 days of recuperation.
I absolutely love that. I've never heard anybody say that of the 350 plus. It's always some moment somewhere in the world. And to get to that magical place where you say, it's the backyard with this setting. That's pretty cool, man. Tell about your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos that we passionately call the art of construction.
that's easy. It's mixed martial arts, MMA. It's been a 42 year addiction now.
Wow.
Definitely an addiction. Like I have trouble getting up in the morning. My body's totally broken. I lost count of how many concussions I have. I got endless surgeries, and I still do it. It's absolutely insane.
Well, we're going to unpack all of this by going all the way back to the beginning, because you've had a career before the career, and unpacking all this stuff of what is your story that led you to being, to leading subcontractors, tech by day, and coaching MMA after that.
You know, I guess the details of the story, even though they relate to me, this the story itself kind of relates to anyone that's, you know, growing through adversities, anyone who's, you know, faced forks in the road, have found a healthy purpose. It's like, I'll start it off. Picture an 8-year-old kid, small, skinny, being bullied. All right. So that was me. Picture yourself in it, cause the story will be better. You're from a police military family, so you're encouraged to stand up for yourself. So you do, you fight back and you get the crap eaten out of you. Now picture yourself sitting on a bench in school and you're all bleeding and the wrestling coach comes up and just recruits you to the wrestling team, says, you know what, you join the team, you'll never get bullied again. Didn't necessarily believe him, but, you know, that turns into 20 years of competing at very high levels, traveling all around, meeting awesome people, very diverse backgrounds. You know, the type of people that you meet, you're literally on a mat fighting with them, and then you get off and you're shaking hands and you're best friends. Like, it's a wicked sport to be a part of and to really develop character and discipline. And then you know, you join the police department, and you do the job with a super hyper-vigilant sense of justice, and you kind of find yourself jumping headfirst into chaos and conflict. And not many stories I could tell. It might not be appropriate for this conversation, but just imagine a world where you learn very quickly that if you look for trouble, you find it.
Yeah, and hashtag this is why you need to come to the AEC Integration Summit, because I got to sit next to Chad at dinner and hear a few of the cliff notes of this after a Negroni. So this is why we do the lead in here.
Yeah, it's private conversations tend to be a little bit better for these for getting deep into the weeds here. You know, there was a point where my wife jumped in and highlighted some concerns that she had, and that's really what, you know, put me at the fork in the road where I had to make a decision. You know, my childhood dream of becoming a police officer, a job I felt that I was addicted to. And then you're faced with this fork in the road, and she made a very good case for why the path that I was on was going to end poorly. And so I quit, you know, and so through a random set of another set of weird events, I end up at this party in Miami and I meet the co-founders of Plexus, and everything starts with a good conversation, and that conversation just leads right into us partnering up. And 20 years later, a funny thing happened. Been a part of the Plexus team ever since that fork in the road. And you think you leave the conflict and chaos, that chaotic, seedy underbelly of police work, and you think you leave that behind. And the reality is construction has just as much, if not more, chaos and conflict. So this is the silver lining of it. The same skills that you use to, you know, navigate professional fighting and navigate law enforcement really do apply to construction. So that should give you an idea of how messed up the industry is. You know, the details of the story with MMA and police work, yeah, those are unique to me. But when you, the reality is every single one of us in the industry, we've grown through adversity. We've had pivotal moments in our life where we've really been challenged to make difficult decisions. And I really do believe that we are all in this industry trying to make ourselves better whilst helping, simultaneously helping others do the same, right? Yeah. So it's my story is maybe unique in the details, but the reality is it's the same story as everyone else in this industry.
Yeah, but I would say, Chad, I think you're a unique person. I can think of yourself, maybe Satyam Verma, maybe another one, that are folks that were able to fool me, that you've been, you know, said 20 years, but on the observing the industry side, where, you know, we had a conversation and you could have convinced me that you were from the industry because you spoke it so well. Mm. And I think there's something to the ability to pick up the language, to pick up the jargon, to pick up the nuance and really understand that. And you go to so many of these different conferences and I see you around much more than I see Plexus, maybe if it's CFMA or certain conferences, but I know Plexus doesn't necessarily throw a ton of dollars out in marketing and getting the branding out, but you guys do support CPC a lot. I'm curious not to put you on the spot, but yeah, like what draws you to what we're doing?
Well, wasn't expecting that question. And that's an amazing observation, because we don't invest heavily into marketing. I think where the understanding of the nomenclature comes from is the fact that we get so intimately involved with our customers because we deal with bidding, field, and finance. We deal with the full spectrum. So we have no choice but to fully understand their issues. And so I think that's where the nomenclature comes from. And we are not a believer in, I hate to say it, marketing. We look at marketing as mismarketing. It's partial truths, you know. I come from a world where it's the whole truth and nothing but. I wear this shirt. So it's really hard to focus on marketing when it's not the whole truth. It's often the sunshine and rainbows version of your product and your mission. And we all know that this industry is not all sunshine and rainbows. And that is what really led me to you guys, the Construction Progress Coalition, because you guys are having the real conversations. You're not having the conversations about, you know, the marketing-led conversations where you're promoting technologies. You're digging deep into the shared pains, shared gains, having the uncomfortable conversations, the conversations that might make some associations reluctant to have because they would lose sponsors, because they would, you know, lose some traction in their marketing. You guys are having those real conversations that are needed, are necessary to move the industry ahead. That's what attracted me to you guys.
And I think that's where we have maybe that shared purpose or shared belief of kind of speaking out against the grain. I can't tell you how many people have used the term cloud cuffing now that you know, you've sort of coined that term.
Yep.
of kind of the habits or behaviors or the symptoms of the industry, and really kind of like sticking our thumb in that and pointing that out. So mm-hmm. I think, yeah, maybe. Is that a you thing? Is that a Chad thing? Is that a Plexus thing? Like, where does that come from?
So it's kind of both. I would say for about 7 years, the shield behind us, that started from a serve and protect mindset. So we brought the serve and protect mindset from police work into the industry. And what I mean by that is, you know, we wanted to serve the industry as best we could, but also protect it from opportunists. And we started to see patterns in the industry of overselling, you know, lying about the level of integrations, contracts that were designed, you could clearly see that they were designed to extract as much money out of contractors as possible. Like they were there to give all of the risk of the adoption onto contractors while making sure that subscription payments are always coming in. They were so leaning towards the technology providers. And in a world of law enforcement and justice, you would never see that imbalance. And so we started to identify the patterns and then label them. So we got smoke stacking when, you know, they're lying about the level of, or misleading, they're misleading the level of integrations of the technologies within their tech stack. And, you know, they make it look like these integrations are just magic in whatever ecosystem they're looking at. But they, meanwhile, in execution, specifically for subcontractors, because they deal, they work at a much more granular level. The integrations were not functioning at the level that was sold. And so we came up with labels. That was smoke stacking, you know, the cloud cuffing, holding your data hostage, you know, getting customers locked in, holding their data hostage, so if they ever wanted to leave, they couldn't, or they the data was held in order to extort another 1 or 2 or 3 year term for the subscriptions. You know, getting control of the data and then not, or charging the customer for the software before it's even live. Little things like that.
Yeah, and this is the part that's such a joy to have this conversation, because Nathan, you have really directed me to talk in the kind of overarching conversation around all of these podcasts is about trying to understand from each other to design and implement system-to-system interoperability, right? Yeah. And the hard part of the longer you try and get into construction technology, the more you end up figuring out how to defend the data to these enterprise solutions and create these common data environments. And that's the Construction Progress Coalition that I've got so passionate about because of what Nathan is bringing to the table and all the other master facilitators around that. So the kind of overarching theme for all of these podcasts is system-to-system interoperability. And the part that Art of Construction is trying to do is to facilitate vertically integrated projects, right? And so it's the which part of the great game of construction are you trying to take? And I love how Chad is talking about lessons learned from in the criminal world to the world of construction and figuring out to where at the beginning, I really teed this up and I really want Chad to talk about, you know, how do you make this a single source of truth, knowing there's no silver bullet in software?
Well, that's the question. It's funny that, you know, 20 years ago I meet the co-founders of Plexus and they were trying to work with the trades to help them unite bidding, field, and finance, and 20 years later we're still here trying to solve the same problem. So that gives you an idea of how different.
So pause and think about that Art of Construction tribe. 20 years later, same problem. And Chad, thank you for saying that. This is turning into a good counseling session for me because I've done 300 podcasts around and I'm still looking out there, dude, where's my fab? When I've been saying after 300 episodes, I've done 350 plus. The first 50 was just figuring out construction, how to speak around a podcast. Then it's been about blending on-site and off-site solutions. And Chad, jokingly, before we turned the mic on, we were kind of talking about our mental health of helping each other to say, God, you think I'd be able to jump into your session and help add the value to map this out? And in the end, it got really messy, and we're going to unpack that, right?
I thank you for saying that, because that in the Dude, Where's My Fab, the whole purpose of me leading that team and having that conversation was to advance the conversation and come to some sort of end state that we could achieve. And man, we switched directions several times. We fell on our faces. I felt like such an idiot at the end of it. I was like, okay, all right. I thought I knew what I was doing when I came into this. Now I feel like I don't know anything. And then you pop in, you're like, yeah, well, Chad, I've been doing over 300 podcasts on the topic and I still feel lost. So thank you.
That may have been my fault too, because I intentionally put, as again, Chad, you brought a couple of drywall contractors, MKB and FL Crane. But then we also had Kelly Lublai with Cupertino Electric. We had folks from steel contractors. Like, all these different trades. Everyone that you go and talk to individually, but now they're all in the same room together and they realize that they can't figure it out. So like, you're put in an impossible situation, right? And software is put in an impossible situation.
But it ended up this amazing
single source of truth.
It was an amazing result though, because the one thing that we got was, all right, now we know who to bring into this conversation, because, you know, we figured out who the most knowledgeable key stakeholders could or should be. And now we have a clear path on, A, we need to have more conversations. B, the exact stakeholders that need to be in part of those conversations to make sure that we actually get to a really positive end state.
Yeah, and my primary focus as a subcontractor, my whole career has been doing specialty building materials, owner and operating a window and door company in Colorado. I want you to talk about, you know, as we've kind of teed this up to say, technology is hard, and there's so many people that make up saying, here's the whole thing just coming to the job site, right? And I think that was one of those things when I was following your LinkedIn since getting to know you at the summit, and that's the big thing, the theme I'm trying to say is get involved in this, and this is why, because when Nathan tees it up about what is the CPC, and then Chad puts, you know, a infographic around what is a subcontractor project life cycle, that stuff you have to be able to integrate into these different sessions, but you have to be sitting around the table to understand where we're coming from. So you said 20 years you've been working on Plexus. What is Plexus all about?
Well, it's so just like the Art of Construction Master Facilitator, you know, that role focuses on understanding the full spectrum of all the workflows. And then you come up with strategies and you do whatever is needed to make sure that you can create a cohesive team environment. You can bridge all the gaps between all of those workflows. We're like the master facilitator for the trades. So we understand the full spectrum of core workflows, and we deliver software that acts as the translation device between all of the stakeholders within a subcontractor. So, you know, the challenge in that is a lot of systems out there are made for general contractors, and that does not fit the subcontractor workflow. That's one challenge. Number two, even within the subcontractor organization themselves, you have estimators who are working in a specific perspective. Like, they might handle or look at materials from a square foot or lineal foot perspective. But then you have purchasers that are looking at those exact same materials in bundles and pieces and skids. And then you have the accounting perspective, which is looking at the job and analyzing the job from a cost, a financial dollar perspective. But then you have the field who doesn't care that they're putting up a $5,000 partition or a $10,000 wall or framing, $5,000 worth of, you know, wall on the east side. They don't care about that. They're looking at the square footage, the man hours that are required. They're looking at it from a completely different perspective. And then you've got all these VUCA conditions, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous conditions. These things that are just popping up out of nowhere, like weather. You know, you've got governmental regulations. You've got a job site in a certain county with a residency tax. So in that area, 10% of the workforce has to have addresses within a certain circumference. You got all of these factors that are all coming into play. And a technology's job is, I like Josh Bowen's explanation the best. You know, he's like, technology will not solve problems. It is a communication device between process and people. So the challenge is creating a translation device that allows people to work in the way that they need and their perspective, that allows them to adhere to the processes that are best fit for that workflow. And then the technology should just be doing the translation between everybody. So when your CFO wants to do a financial analysis, they get the dollar perspective. The field wants an immediate labor breakout. They're not getting a labor breakout from a financial perspective. They're getting remaining man hours and remaining man days by activity. That's the real challenge. And the most difficult part is when you think you got it, something else comes into the mix. There's another wrench thrown in. There's another job with a unique condition that the technology can't handle. And it's the people in process that have to adopt. Then the technology has to adopt.
And I truly think that is the gap that we need to fill, that I really took away and really made me feel good as a subcontractor myself, of trying to work between fragmented tools and GC tools to understand, to bridge that gap of how to do that. It's really hard. And so that's where you're leaning into, and now it's taking those sources and putting them together. So what an honor to hear that Plexus is all about subcontractors. As a subcontractor myself, I'm all in on learning more about how that can bridge the gap, which I think is so many important parts about this. My experience when it comes to onboarding construction technology, it's so much harder than the people sell it. And at the beginning, you kind of talked about why we're so heavily involved with Nathan and the CPC is because it's not a marketing agency marketing a script at a conference. It's really talking about hashtag building truth and turning shared pains into shared gains. And we can't say that enough. But onboarding is really hard. You talk about the 2x4 approach. What is that all about?
Man, yeah, you nailed it. 2x4 approach is whatever time you think you need to invest in selecting software and implementing software, double it. And if you double your upfront time, you'll save four times the frustrations on the back end. And it's technology providers, they will sell technology as a solution to all the problems, and it's not. I like to say it's a mirror. If you've got problems in the ranks, problems with your people, problems in the processes, technology is going to point it out. So focusing on people first, and then the process, and then the technology, that's what will get you the most out of the technology. But in terms of onboarding, it really does come down to the time and attention of the team that's going to be onboarding the software. The trades are notorious for having everything due yesterday. The time just doesn't exist to bring on new initiatives. So bringing on a software, creating change within your organization, and learning how to use a new product, which is probably going to change some processes, you bring all of that together and throw it on the plate of anyone in any trade, it's a disaster waiting to happen. So that 2x4 approach is really just about focus and priority. And all focus is the ability to say no. So you got to pick your priorities, and you got to clean that plate up and make room to double whatever you thought it was going to take to select and implement a technology, because doing that is going to save you so much heartache and frustration at the back end. It's already going to be tough. So trim down your priorities. Start saying no to shit and make it happen.
I guess along those lines a little bit, because so much of this comes down to making a decision, it's big executives or IT leaders or whatever making big decisions. And you talked earlier about just the value of conversations and having conversations. Like, how do you maybe like push back if you're dealing with potential or current clients that are kind of just looking for an easy answer and like don't want to go through that tougher conversation of the people in the process first? Do you have a word for that?
Well,
smokestacking word for that?
In our process, we call that fit. So yeah. There's a software fit, but then there's also a cultural fit. And we're always looking for companies that are willing to invest the time and attention. And if they're not, we push them off because we know it's going to fail. So we look, there's over 40 things that we look for. So we're evaluating companies and their culture as we're going through the sales process. And we have a few little tests that really do end up being deal breakers. For example, if there's one person that's controlling the sales cycle, like it's an IT guy or a CFO, and we don't get to meet anyone else on the whole team, we already know it's a disaster. We want those companies to go with our competitors because we know it's good. They're just going to tear competitors apart from within. Right. So, because if you have a CFO only that's controlling the decision, controlling the information, that's not getting the rest of the team involved, it's the quickest way to become an accounting firm that builds instead of a builder with strong financial management. And, you know, you might have a CIO or a construction technologist who is controlling the decision and they're not getting the full team involved. So part of that 2x4 approach is we will ask companies to get representation from the field, get representation from operations or project manager, one or two executives, and then of course the financial, the CFO or the controller. And when we can get everybody into the same room and start talking about the full spectrum of perspectives, if they're willing to take those people out of the field and make that investment, then we know that this company has a chance. If they won't do that, we just won't take them. They can be the most attractive company. They could be well-funded. They could sign a check and just give it to us. We will not take them because it will fail, and that will hurt our brand in the long run.
Well, and that's why it's been so helpful, whether it was Shane 2 years ago or was it Jason and Scott, I think we're here this year. You know, having those perspectives of those cultural fit trade contractors, and I liked your description earlier of kind of that Plexus having this trade contractor centric view of literally being the shield for that trade contractor and having different persona perspectives of being the estimator or the accountant or that field perspective, but you're within that shield of the trade contractor. And sort of that next frontier, everything that we're trying to address with the AEC Integration Summit is around, okay, what happens when you have to go beyond that shield to the GC's world or an owner's world or a designer's world where it might not be your single source of truth. We've got to either share one or exchange between them, and it gets a lot muddier, right?
This is why I love the conversations that you guys have at CPC. Look back at when we had the WIP process. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Shane Boyd from MKB. We had representation from subcontractors, from general contractors, from sureties. We had a whole spectrum of perspectives in architecture, engineering, and construction, all in that one discussion. And that it was a perfect conversation to highlight the fact that, yes, in the Plexus world, we're protecting contractors, we're protecting their data, we're giving them the ability to control their data, own their data, and before it leaves the Plexus world and goes to sureties and goes to GCs, they get to game plan it and make the adjustments because there is information, IP, that they need to protect. And in a lot of conversations, that might not come out, or it might come out with being shrouded in some way. But at the CPC, when that conversation came out, you saw Shane, the GCs, and the sureties get real. They were like, mm-hmm. It was a real conversation, almost uncomfortable at times, but it was real. And we ended mm-hmm. up with a really good result at the end of that conversation. So I don't see that happening anywhere else. I don't see it happening at a conference. Certainly not going to happen at a trade show.
And it's that fine line because you're acting, right? Like we're mocking a scenario, but because they really do represent those perspectives, they're really feeling those visceral feelings, but they can be more honest because it's not actually a real world environment. It's like this weird thing because if you had a bunch of trade contractors all pretending to be architects and engineers and GCs, they would just make fun of them and it would be like, ah, ha, ha, and laugh at them and we wouldn't learn anything, right? Yep. But by having those different perspectives, but also giving them that safe space, yeah, it's a weird little space we found.
It's exactly. It's I don't know the best way to describe it. It's other than just honest. It was honest in a real conversation.
Psychological safety was one of the terms that we learned from Brett and Cal and others. And I feel like I keep bringing that word psychological safety into these discussions because that's a lot of what you're describing is that, you know, Shane and those others, even though they represent different perspectives and were a little bit uncomfortable, you know, felt psychologically safe to be vulnerable and to be honest.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's, you know, it's funny. In, in police work, when you're interviewing suspects, you use a tactic called hypothetical interviewing, where you don't ask them specifically about what they were doing at a different time or specifically what happened. You interview them from a hypothetical perspective, saying, "Hey, what do you think happened in this scenario here? What do you think so and so was thinking? What do you think?" And it's always hypothetical, and you would see the suspects almost start to open up, and you would always get more information. Very simple tactic, very effective, and in a roundabout way, the CPC is actually creating that environment where, all right, we got real perspectives, we got real intelligence, we got real wisdom, we got a full spectrum of perspectives in an environment where it's not real. Let's go to town.
Right. It's a total mind game, right? Yeah. Inception.
which ties into, I think it was challenging, but I think it was perfectly done of the dude, where's my fab, with putting GCs and subcontractors into that conversation that I'm so grateful for, because it makes you appreciate how hard this is to really move the needle in the conversations we had around, you know, technology and people and how to put all that stuff together.
Oh, absolutely. You had, you know, look at some of the comments that were made, right? It was like, okay, well, hey, I have to work with a GC that doesn't understand the complexity or the vision. They don't even know what they're asking for. And, you know, but that led to a really positive outcome of having the specific, well-informed, change-ready GCs that come in to help drive the conversation. And but at the same time, we started with this goal of having this fully transparent environment, but then it had to twist in order to protect the IP of some of the stakeholders.
All right, here's the part I'm so excited for, and hopefully I can pull this off. Like, as a kid, I'm going to start dating myself here, as back in the day growing up, one of my favorite things on, and now my family's watching Jimmy Fallon and all these new ones, but back then it was David Letterman, and it was the top 10. And we're going to go down the top 10, where I'm going to challenge Chad to take the top 10 items from, big shout out to Aaron Wright on the Construction Channel. In the show notes, we'll put this great video that the team put out there around each package. Around this one is Dude, Where's My Fab? So this was the whole discovery from the presentation that Chad did. So I'm going to say number 10, we're going to get down to the number one thing from this video of unpacking all this stuff. Chad, what do you say? Should we do this?
All right, I'll do my best.
All right, number 10.
Okay. Started off with the moose hunting story, which I do not want to say. I want to tell everybody, you got to go to the video and listen to the moose hunting story, because there's a funny little nugget in it, and I will ruin it if I tell it. But I will say what the moral of the story was. The moral of the story was, sometimes it's better just to go 50 feet at a time. Take it slow, because speed kills in some cases.
50 feet at a time. Number 9.
All right. Well, this conversation crashed and burned, but it was beautiful at the same time. So I would say number 2 is that the future conversations that we have are also going to crash and burn, but great things are going to come from them.
Lessons learned. You learn by trying, learn by doing. Number 8.
This one, I would say the stakeholders are stubborn. Let's just accept it. It's stubborn, so it's going to be a heavy lift to, A, get them to the table. It's also going to be a heavy lift to have them participate in the conversation and to open up. All right, so, but we got to be aware of it, so we just push a little bit harder.
Number 7.
Okay, I guess this one would be expectations. Kind of similar to the last one, but, you know, if we expect that the stubborn stakeholders, including myself and some of my customers, if we expect them to change, we're not going to succeed. Let's just expect that they are going to continue to be the same. So it's not necessarily about getting them to work as a cohesive team. It's more about finding a solution that's going to work with all the stubbornness within the group and the conflicting interests.
Number 6.
All right. This one, I would say, you know, every time that we came up with something that we thought was right, we found out we were wrong. So I would say this would be another expectation. Just when you think you're right, be prepared and be willing to accept that you might not have got it right. And you actually jumped in. You had a big part in this one. You actually jumped in, and we had a workflow. We had a workflow drawn out on the board, and you literally flipped it upside down and completely changed it. And that's when it was like, oh, we kind of had it right, just backwards.
Number five.
This one, owners. Finding owners who are process ready, because not alone. Some owners are going to want, they'll have a vision, and they're going to want to be involved in a project like this. But the reality is, if they're not process ready, it's going to be too much of a heavy lift to get them to that stage. So for these conversations, it is probably best for all of us to focus on getting the owners to the table who are already process ready.
Number four.
okay. I think one thing that came up was, we were so fixated on design intent, and that kind of boxed the conversations into a corner. And once we loosened up a bit, the conversations improved. So I would say it's important to have an informed process and be focused on design intent, but not fixated, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Number three.
Number three. So IP is this is where some of the uncomfortable conversations happened. And it's important to acknowledge that the IP out there is important to protect. So while we have the stakeholders at the same table, there will be some reluctance on, there'll be some challenges in getting the level of transparency that are needed for the conversation to evolve. And I would say have some empathy for that, because it is important for, you know, subcontractors and some of the prefab manufacturers to protect their IP. So there's some sensitivities here that you need to be aware of as we navigate through the next conversation.
Number two.
I think the best thing that came out of this conversation was we have a phenomenal launch pad for the conversations to come.
Love it. And drum roll, the number one answer is?
Number one answer would be, you are not going to get everything out of a 2-minute conversation. This is just the start. So I'm grateful for this podcast, because this podcast is the next step to amazing conversations to come.
Well, Chad, great job sitting around the fire, having this podcast conversation around, you know, some days can be long, and boy, the years are short of recapping. And I always say 7 times for the first time in different ways to take this information to hashtag build truth, from Nathan's turning shared pains into shared gains. And that's what we're all trying to do and figure this out. So thanks for going on that top 10. And this is just a tee up of all of the cool stuff, Nathan and the Denise, if you listen to the last podcast, of what they're putting together for the next year's integration summit, and all the details are getting put out there on social and on the website. But as we work to close this thing out, the question we always ask, that I'm super excited for a guy that is saying technology is not the silver bullet. Mm-hmm. Let's wave that wand and say, you've only been doing this for 20 short years. What is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
Well, mostly bad news. Unfortunately, you know, I said it before, speed kills. And I think too many are moving too fast. So there's likely a lot of casualties that are coming. I do think there's a silver lining to this. But, you know, let's take one thing, for example, the market is being flooded by, venture capitalists. They're, you know, investing into a lot of horses, putting a lot of pressure to move fast. And like I said, speed kills. So you got these marketplaces that are just exploding with all of these products. And marketplaces are not really marketplaces, they're food chains. So it's going to be a bloodbath. So there's going to be a lot of casualties in that, you know, marketplace, investor-driven world. And I think over the next 5 years, we'll start to see some kings rise up. which is the silver lining. Mm-hmm. So if, technically, it's going to be a vicious world of R&D. We're going to see
and you can't do that yourself. So my crystal ball is you better get involved with the Construction Progress Coalition, because it's groups of people working together within groups of those groups, because you can't do this yourself.
Correct.
You cannot innovate alone. You have to innovate with a group of people, but they have to be living it. And that's what the Art of Construction Master Facilitators are, people that are really trying to understand the comprehensive cycle of this thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. There's a lot of companies that are, when I look at this example, there's a lot of companies that are going to fail. However, in the failures, something amazing is going to come out of it. That's the silver lining of the bad news. AI is moving so fast, lightning speed. Again, speed kills. I think there's going to be a lot of casualties out of it, but at the same time, it's going to result in something amazing. I don't even know what it is. You know, as a tech company, we're experimenting with AI, but in no way are we going to be building any products and release. We're taking a fast follower approach in this scenario, because it is moving too fast. We want to see what happens in the market. We're experimenting so we can have an intelligent position with it. We're staying involved in the conversations, like with Nathan at the CPC, so we can keep ourselves well informed without coming out of it with the battle scars. You know, I see a lot of tech companies who have not modernized over the last 10 years. They're going to be struggling to catch up. Contractors who didn't evolve consistently and repetitiously over the last 10 years with technology, they are going to be put into a position where they are forced to squeeze 10 years of change into 1 year or 18 months, and it's going to hurt them. I mean, they are at risk of dissolving. Like, if they don't have a good succession plan, I mean, they might literally just close up shop, because no one's going to want to work with an archaic dinosaur. Mm-hmm. So I see a lot of casualties there. And I guess the silver lining is the companies who had the discipline and foresight to evolve with technologies, have the important conversations, struggle through the change over the last 10 years, those companies, I feel, are going to be in a perfect position to take advantage of, you know, the extra labor that's going to be coming out of these companies that are dissolving. They're going to be in a position to take advantage of the technologies that rise to the top. You know, so the companies that really did sacrifice, struggle, and invest in the last decade, they're going to reap the rewards. So I think the next 5 years will be defined by struggle, but those who are able to excel in struggle are the ones that are really going to define the standards for the next decade, really.
I love that. Nathan, tell the Art of Construction tribe, if they're listening to this and saying, I want to get involved, a little bit more about the Construction Progress Coalition and the AEC Integration Summit, where it is in 2025, and give everybody a little bit information about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you want to hang out with Chad and a bunch of other rock star storytellers, we will be back in Austin, Texas, April 23rd through the 25th of 2025. So stay tuned for registration to be open for early bird registration. And we'll be, again, collecting those team topics for next year. We're looking to transition the theme from movie topics for our team topic titles to more of a game show, gamification, game board theme. So been noodling on that. If you got any ideas, definitely hit me up. But yeah, looking forward to developing that together with Chad and all the other supporters.
Well, big thank you, Nathan, for creating this platform for us all to have these open and honest conversations. We're super grateful for it. As the final question we always ask to niche in, to go out and crush it and grow our business, Chad, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Well, I kind of alluded to it in the podcast. I'm a firm believer that leaders of the future will be defined by how well they improve people's attention spans. So yes, technology is important, but if there's one thing that I would say to focus on, be an attentive and physically present leader. Kind of get back to that physical proximity so you can increase your behavioral awareness of your team and really become a strong leader capable of not only serving your team, but protecting your team. So a heavy focus on being physically present consistently and repetitiously. Get everything back. Work on the people and the process. Focus more on people and process than technology, and you'll get the most out of technology.
Wow. What an honor. Nathan, Chad, thank you so much for jumping in and aligning these different stories into a collective conversation. And we'll make sure to put links on how to get involved with Plexus in the show notes and get involved in the conference. So many exciting things ahead. Chad, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your story.
I'm honored. Honored to be a part of this, guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate everything that you guys do.
All right. We'll see you on the next one, Nathan.
Yeah. Thank you, Devin. Thank you for all of you do at the AOC Megaphone.